week. Take your Bibles this morning, go to the book of Galatians. We had a good time this week. We were able to serve the basketball teams at Custer County High. Appreciate those that came to help with that, and the kids were very appreciative. Many of them sent texts and messages telling us thank you for feeding them, and we were also able to host the pastors from the area. As far as the Southwest Baptist Conference, we appreciate them coming. Had maybe 10 or 12 pastors, had got to meet some new pastors, so appreciate those that helped with that as well. Galatians chapter number 5, big surprise there this morning as we are continuing to work our way through the book of Galatians. In chapter number 5, we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit. As you well know, we've been doing this 4 weeks, even had two different sermons on joy and having joy in our lives and having the fruit of the Spirit. Just for those that have not been here, be reminded, these fruits are produced by the Holy Spirit of God. They're not produced by you and your own power. That will lead to utter and complete failure and disappointment. If you try to have fruits in your life that belong only to God and try to produce these fruits without God, you will fail miserably. But here in the Scripture, the Bible tells us that these fruits are the fruits of the Spirit. The reason they're the fruits of the Spirit is because these things belong to God. This is part of who He is, and He is able to give us these things as we dwell in Him, and as we rely upon Him, and as we yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. So these fruits are listed here in verse number 22 and following of Galatians 5, where the Bible says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit." That's where it's coming from. I've said that every week, but we have to be reminded, because sometimes in Christianity, we try to strike out on our own, and we try to live the Christian life without the power of God, and we try to live the Christian life without God, and you'll find that that is impossible. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. We talked about that God is love. We've been reading about that in our scripture references from 1 John. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Then we talked about joy. The true and lasting joy comes from God. And 93% of Americans are looking for joy. But the problem is, a lot of those 93% of Americans are looking for joy in the wrong areas. Joy can only be found in God. And then we see here in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And then the third fruit is the fruit of peace. The fruit of peace. I like to look at surveys and to see what Americans are talking about and what they're going through. And every year, I found out that every year in America, that there is a list that is being kept that talk about Americans and their fears, the things they're fearful of. This year, 2024, the list went to over 1,000 things that Americans are fearful of. They have all kinds of fears, all kinds of things that they're worried about, whether it be a fear of dying, which many have that fear, a fear of illness, a fear of different animals or different snakes or different scenarios that are taking place. Many people have fears of spiders. Anybody like that in here? Surely not. Have you ever heard of the Mississippi Squirrel Revival? Where the squirrel got loose in the church on a Sunday morning and there was a revival broke out as that squirrel made its way down the pews there in the church on Sunday morning. We may need revival, but I'm not sure we'll use a squirrel to do it, right? But, you know, different fears that people have. The fact of the matter is, and what I learned from it, is that many people, if not most people, are restless, concerned, and worried about different things in their lives. You ever go to the doctor and you're awaiting the report from the latest scan that you had, and there may be fear in your life. You may be worried about a certain situation that's taking place, and there's anxiety or fear that comes into your life. Maybe if you're a child here today, you're fearful of the dark, or you're fearful of different situations, or fearful of not having a friend, or whatever it may be. The fact of the matter is, the world is a restless place. The world is filled with anxieties and difficulties and trials and hardships, and on we can go. But the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So what does it mean that we, through the Spirit of God, can have peace in our lives? And I'll explain that to you this morning. Peace, what is peace anyway? Peace is quiet in the soul. Peace is quiet in the soul. Peace is evident in a spirit-filled or a spirit-walking Christian. And I wouldn't have to survey the room very long to talk about different things that invade our lives that can bring anxiety or bring fear. And I already mentioned many, such as health and such as situations that go into come about in our lifetime. And so what is peace? Peace is quiet in the soul, and it can be evident in a spirit-filled and a spirit-walking Christian. Now, why is it that we get peace from walking with God? I'm glad you asked that. Go to Romans chapter number 15 in your Bibles, and you'll see that God is often identified as the God of peace. God is identified as a God of peace. Meaning, listen to this, meaning that He in Himself is perfect peace. There is no anxiety in God. There is no anxiety in God. God is qualified to be the peace giver because He within Himself is the essence and being of peace. We have all these things that offer peace in the world, but only God can truly give peace because only God in and of Himself is peace. There is no anxiety in God. God is not in heaven, and I say this respectfully, God is not in heaven twiddling His thumbs, thinking, oh my word, what is going to happen? God is a God of peace. There is no anxiety. There is no fear in God. There is no dread in God. There is no worry in God. And there is no doubt in God. There is a perfect calm in God because He is God. He is in complete control. He is in the source of dispensing all this calm. And that's why it says in Romans chapter number 15 that I had you turn to in verse number 13, where the Bible says this, now, He says, the God, right? He's the one. The God, He says in verse number 13, of hope will, let's start over. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. God is a God of peace, and so He is able to fill you with all peace. 2 Thessalonians now in your Bibles, chapter number 3 in verse number 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse number 16. And we could do this all day, talking about verses about God being a God of peace. He says, now the Lord of peace, verse number 16, now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always, by all means, the Lord be with you. See, the reason one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace is because love belongs to God, joy belongs to God, and peace belongs to God. So in order to have peace in your life, it must come from God. Oftentimes, we are looking for peace in all the wrong places. John 14, Jesus speaking, says, let not your heart be troubled. A troubled heart. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. A peaceful heart is based upon the promises of God's power and God's purposes in our lives. How else should we live in peace, in perfect calm, without the power of God? Think of Abraham. Abraham, well, if you've studied the Old Testament, you see there's this thing called the Abrahamic covenant. And God made a covenant with Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you with land, I'm going to give you blessing, and I'm also going to give you seed. In other words, he's going to have a child. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, with the 12 sons, all the way going forward, ends up with the 12 tribes of Israel. But Abraham was past childbearing years. You know how the story goes with his wife Sarah. His wife Sarah's past childbearing years. And so God does keep His promise to Abraham. Abraham, the Bible says, believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But you think, hey, happy ending, story over, right? Abraham has a son named Isaac. It's not long until Isaac is a young boy. God tells Abraham, Abraham, go and sacrifice your child, Isaac. Now, I don't know about you, but at that point I would have said, am I hearing you correctly? I don't know if I can carry through with this to go sacrifice my son Isaac. You have promised me land, seed, and blessing, and here is the seed, and now you're telling me to sacrifice my son. But Abraham follows through with what God had told him to do. He takes Isaac to the altar, and just as he is going to sacrifice Isaac according to God's instruction, God provides a ram. You know the story if you've been in Sunday school at all. Provides a ram in a thicket, picturing the substitutional work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Isaac, and they're told to sacrifice that instead of Isaac. Now, what was going on here? Well, if you go to the book of Hebrews, you'll recognize that the reason Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac is because Abraham believed God was a God that kept his promises. And Abraham, the New Testament tells us that Abraham believed that if he would have sacrificed Isaac, God keeps his promises so completely that he would have raised Isaac from the very dead. Because God is a God that keeps his promises. That is why you and I can have peace in our lives, because we have a God that is a God that keeps his promises. We have a God that is a God of great power. That's demonstrated with David and Goliath, isn't it? David arrives at the camp. I've told you these things, talked about this with the men at the breakfast. But David arrives at the camp. He says, why do you all keep backing down to this giant? Do you not know who your God is? He goes out there with three stones and kills Goliath. Of course, we know God directs the stone, but God is a God that keeps his promises, and God is a God of great power. Joshua arrives at Jericho. There's going to be a great battle. Instead, God says, hey, walk around the city, and on the seventh day, walk around it seven times, and then blow your trumpets, and the city's going to fall down. Our God is a God of great power. So no wonder one of the fruits of the Spirit is to have peace, because God is a God of power, God is a God that keeps his promises, but God is also a God of purpose. God is a God of purpose. I have had to learn this in my life over the years, and I know I'm 44. I don't know exactly. I may be 45. I get my birthday confused. I think I'm 44, right? And but anyway, God is a God of purpose. Romans tells us this. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I can have peace because my God is a God of power, my God is a God of promise, and my God is a God of purpose. I tell you what, there's things in my life where I've said, how could this happen, or how could this be taking place? And in the middle of it, I thought, there's no way this makes any sense. But yet, as I've gone forward in my life, I see that God had a plan and God had a purpose. See, I can be filled with peace as I'm surrendered to the Spirit of God, because I know who my God is. He is a God that is the essence and being of peace. There is no fear, there is no anxiety, there is no dread. He's a God of power, a God of purpose, and a God of promise. You can trust God. You know what I have had to learn in my young 44 years, and I hate to admit this sometimes, right, because I'm stubborn and ornery, but God knows a lot more than I do. Have you all had to come to that conclusion? Who all's ever fought against the purposes of God? Who's all ever fought against the plan of God? Who all's ever resisted even the power of God? We all have, right? But have we all not had to come to the realization through, and I think, and this is all off complete context here this morning, I'm not even on notes anymore, okay? But anyway, it's all because we are not oftentimes broken before the Lord. The reason we don't trust God and rely on his peace is because we're still relying on ourselves so heavily. No wonder we have no peace. No wonder we have no contentment. No wonder Americans have over 1,000 fears. Oftentimes we are not trusting the God of plan, of purpose, and power in our lives. I told you the story in May about a child that Joanna was pregnant with, and she began to have some complications, and we went to the hospital, and the doctor said, "Well, we're sorry, your child is passed away." Oh, mercy, you do not want to hear that news. I went to the parking lot at the hospital, Indian Path Hospital, Kingsport, Tennessee, foggy night, 2:30 in the morning, and I began to walk the parking lot of that hospital, begging God that it not be true. And God filled me with His peace. We went back in. I still remember the long walk down to the ultrasound in the middle of the night, 4 in the morning now. And we go, and the lady is saying, "Now, this is how it's going to happen, and this is the things are going to take place," and yada, 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 on and on. And then she put the ultrasound on Joanna's stomach, and there was a heartbeat. He's 13. He's sitting back there. His name is Caleb. See, God is a God of peace. God is a God of power. God is a God of purpose. God is a God of promise. The fruit of walking with God is He fills you with who He is. And so what fear could we have that is greater than our God? What fear could we have that is greater than His purpose? Let me ask you another question this morning. And again, I've said these statements, but I want you to remember them after you leave. What fear could you have that is greater than the power of God? Can I tell you, just to remind you a little this morning about the power of our God? Well, His Son was crucified upon a cross, and they put Him in a tomb, and He was there 3 days. And all of hell's angels and all of the devil wanted Christ to stay in that grave. But on the third day, He walked out. Your God has the power over your greatest foe. You know who your greatest foe is? Sin and death. Christ conquered death through His work, His death, burial, and resurrection. Why do we not fill and rely upon the peace of God? God has great promises as well. You know what else God says? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise of God. We can have peace. A fruit of the Spirit is because we know God's promises, we know God's power, and we know God's purpose. Purpose. That is a hard one for me, because I have my own plans. Do you? We all do, don't we? We all, if we could lay out the way we see things going, they may not exactly be. But you know, you can trust in the purposes of God. That's how we can have peace. So the fruit of the Spirit is that we have peace because we're relying upon God's promises, God's power, and God's purpose. Let me show you this. An example, Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4 in your Bibles. Miss Leslie told me a story this week about a little boy she used to teach in school when she was a teacher. And he had 3 brothers, and his name was, they were Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And she said, "Well, what's the last one, John?" And he said, "No, Charles." So I don't know what happened there, but we almost got through the Gospels, and Charles was the last one. But Mark chapter number 4, and verse number 35. A little example about us and about who our God is. In the same day, verse 35 says, "In the same day, when the evening was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." I'm just going to make a quick comment real quick, okay? If you'll notice, everybody knows this story about Jesus calming the storm. Let me just tell you something. Jesus told him to go to the other side. Here's the thing. Sometimes we think if we're following God's will, there's never any trials. Wrong, okay? Even in the midst of exactly doing what God told them to do, they're going to have a trial. So guess whose idea it was to go to the other side? It was Jesus. He's the one that said to go. And it says, let's pass over unto the other side. The words are in red in verse number 35. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took even him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And now, guess what happened? There arose a storm. Boy, you've gone through some storms in your life, I would imagine. I've gone through some storms in my life. And there arose a storm. Now, the first thing is, at least for me, I think, well, didn't God tell me to go to the other side? Why? This should be smooth sailing. There should be no problem here whatsoever. And it says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You know what it was happening? It's going down. You put water in a ship on the wrong side, right? On the inside, and you're going under. So the ship is sinking. Typical human here. We're waiting until, you know, the problem. I'm just going to add a little bit, okay? Don't kill me for this. But I imagine they'd probably tried everything that they knew as people who spent time on the water to save the ship from the storm, right? They were probably bailing water. I would imagine if I was there, that's what I would have been doing. They probably had done something with the sails, taken them down so the wind wasn't driving the ship. We see that throughout Scripture a couple times. And they'd probably done everything that they typically knew, just like all of us do oftentimes. A storm comes, we're like, all right, I'm going to do everything I normally do. I'm going to rely upon my own power. I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to do this. I got this, right? And then when we finally start sinking, you know, maybe I should talk to God about this, right? And so sometimes that's what happens. So he says, and he says, verse 37, so that it was now full. This ship is going down. And they tried everything. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. Remember when I told you that there's no anxiety in God? Remember I told you there's no fear in God? There's no dread in God? Is that not illustrated right here? He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Christ is sleeping on a pillow because he knows he has total and complete control. Even though, listen, just get this picture. Even though sometimes your life would seem like it's an utter chaos, right? Can I get a witness? God is in control. God knows the end from the beginning. And he's not lost. He knows what's going on. He's still there. And he's asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master. And again, I hate to even read this. But this sometimes is our response. Do you not care that I am drowning, right? I'm not ashamed to admit that I've maybe asked that before. Have you? Lord, this is a mess. I'm going under. Where are you? Where are you? It says, do you not care that we're perishing? But then he shows that there's a promise, a power, and a purpose in verse 39. And he arose and he rebuked the wind. He has power over the chaos. The wind is what causes the waves in the ocean. The wind drives that water up over the edges of the boat. And he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, listen, have you ever been hit by a wave in the ocean? I've tried to surf a couple times. Didn't work out so well. I was under the water quickly, right? The power of the waves and the water. I mean, it's overwhelming, the power that it has. Wasn't just last week that a ship that lost its engine was thrown into the rocks of another country? I mean, the waves have great power, but our God has greater power than the winds and the waves, and he rebukes the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And guess what happened? The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I wish that was the end of the story. It's over, right? But then you have the moment where Christ turns and says to them in verse number 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? In other words, he could say, do you not know that I'm a God of promise? Do you not remind that I'm a God of power and a God of purpose? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Peace comes from God. Walking with the Spirit of God produces peace in our lives. The world cannot give you peace because it doesn't have peace to offer. The world does not have peace to offer. God is a God of peace. He can give you peace. If your soul is restless this morning, only God can give you peace. And that starts by coming to His Son for salvation. Romans 5 says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. True and lasting peace comes from God. The peace that God gives is unlike anything the world can give. John 14:27, Jesus speaking, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, he says in John 14:27. That's the peace of God. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. And then he says, in the world you will have tribulation. But then he says, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So the world is in chaos, but God is a God of peace. The peace of God overshadows the conflict of the world. The fruit of the Spirit this morning is love. God is a God of love. It comes from Him. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. God is a God of joy. Joy comes from Him. Fruit of the Spirit is peace. God is a God of peace, and it comes from Him. I want to read you a song, not sing you a song, read you a song this morning, a song that you know, written by a lawyer in Chicago. This lawyer in Chicago had invested in real estate, and a lot of his real estate was involved in the Chicago fires. And then this lawyer from Chicago, through the advice of the doctor, sent his family on a trip to Europe on a ship. They had gone from Chicago to New York City on, I think it was train, or I can't remember exactly how they got there, but they were going on the ship to England because of the doctor's orders for the health of his wife. She was 14 years younger than he was. He received a message while in New York that a real estate deal that he was involved in was going to take place. And so he sent his wife and children ahead on the ship, and he had to stay for the real estate deal, and he was going to meet them in Europe. You'll recognize the story. The wife and children got on the boat. It was one of the finest of the day in the 1800s. $125 a person, from what I understand. And so they began to go. They went through fog for several days. The fog lifted, began to have beautiful weather. They had a great day at sea from the story that I've read many times. And then as the voyage continued, an iron ship, I believe in the middle of the night, struck the boat and sank it. The man's children were killed on the boat. His wife, rescued there, continues on. There's debate upon exactly what she sent, but many would believe the telegram that she sent back to Horatio G. Spafford was saved alone. The children had perished. The story goes on that Horatio asked as he was going to meet his wife that the captain of the boat that he was on to go across the ocean to Europe would stop in the area where the boat sank and his children drowned. And he wrote the song that many know and sing today entitled, "It Is Well With My Soul." And the words are this: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." The first definition I gave you of peace this morning was peace is quiet in the soul. Horatio Spafford, even though he went through a great tragedy, found peace in God. Then he says in verse number 2, "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well," he says, "with my soul." And then verse 4 says, "And lo, haste the day when face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so," he says, "it is well with my soul." How can you have peace like that? There is nothing in this world going to give you peace like that but God. Only peace like that comes from Him. Why are we still, even as Christian people, trying to find quiet for our soul from someone that does not offer peace? It's not even on the menu. You go to the world, say, "I'd like an order of peace, please." We don't have that. The world's in chaos. Peace comes from God. And we can have peace in our lives as we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads this morning. Joanne and Bethany are going to come for just a moment. Ask you this morning as you talk, sit there in your seat for just a moment. And Joanne and Bethany will play something for us, but is there something in your life you need peace about? Where have you been trying to find that peace? Don't go to someone who can't offer it. Don't go to the world who doesn't even have it. Peace that we're looking for comes from God. You can walk with a God of power. You can walk with a God of purpose. You can walk with a God that can give you peace, even in the midst of difficult trials. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and he told them to be calm. Take a moment there in your seat this day. Something you need to give to God, something your heart is anxious about, come to Him for peace. Maybe you're here today and you don't even know God. I don't mean this mean, but you'll never have peace if you don't come to God. The world doesn't give peace. God does. Now play for just one more minute this morning. Talk to the Lord. Something you need to give to Him, give it to Him. All right, you can look back up here. Pray that each of us this week will live and dwell and walk with the God who is the God of peace. Father, we thank You. We love You. Thank You for who You are. Thank You, even in the midst of what it would seem to be chaos at times, that You are a God that gives peace to all. I pray for any here today that don't have peace. Pray for any here today that are looking to the wrong places for peace. Help us to come to the only One that truly gives peace, which is the living God. We love You. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.